The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O
On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter, to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. This is the day the Lord has made. Christians sing all over the world. Let us rejoice and be glad is our reaction. Well, God gives us every day of our life and for which we should never cease to thank Him. Today is the most special day on which the Lord who created the world in the beginning remakes it. Oh, God who wondrously created human nature and still more wondrously redeemed it. We prayed last night after hearing the creation account in the Easter Vigil. The recreated world is even more beautiful than Eden. The Lord has made us for this day to experience that recreation, the new life Easter brings. In the book of Revelation, Jesus said, "Behold, I make all things new." Today, Jesus not only renews all creation through his overcoming sin and the death and disorder introduced into the world by sin. Today, Jesus wants to make us new, too. St. Paul describes in today's second reading how we enter into that dramatic transformation. "If then you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think about what is above, not what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." The new and improved human life Jesus wishes to give us involves new goals, new aspirations. It involves a death to the old Adam in us and a resurrection to the new with a capital N. It involves lifting up our hearts and our lives to the Lord. If we live this day as God wants to help us to live it, if we permit the Lord to remake us this day in His image and likeness, then we will experience the joy and the gladness of this most sacred day. Joy is meant to be our fundamental response to Easter. Catholic churches throughout the world exploded with joy last night in the Easter proclamation, describing the joy of Jesus' resurrection. "Rejoice, let Mother Church rejoice, arrayed with the lightning of His glory. Let this holy building shake with joy, filled with the mighty voices of the peoples." In the hymns we sing, we burst forth with that building-shaking gladness. And the strife is over, we sing, oh, let us swell the joyful strain. In Christ the Lord is risen today, we tell each other, raise your joys and triumphs high. In the great Marian antiphon sung each of the 50 days of this Easter season, the Regina Caeli, we chant, be joyful, Mary, Heavenly Queen. The entire season is an ode to joy given to God at the gift He gives us today. The Eucharistic preface of the Easter Mass most effectively summarized this Easter attitude. Overcome with paschal joy, every land, every people exults in your praise. So with all the angels and heavenly powers, we praise and thank God yet more gloriously on this day above all. Jesus came into the world, as He told us on Holy Thursday, so that my joy may be in you and your joy reach perfection. Today is the day in which Jesus wants to give us that fullness. Last night we pondered St. John Paul II's words. The consecrated men and women are called to be living signs of the resurrection, of its treasures of virginity, poverty, and obedience. Visible signs of the Passover from death to life, the prolongation in history of a special presence of the risen Lord. In this year of consecrated life, meant to renew all those who profess the evangelical counsel in the full meaning of their vocation. In this year of the consecrated life meant to renew all those who profess the evangelical counsels in the joy that flows from the full meaning of their vocation and help all other Christians learn from their more intimate consecration how to live out the Christian's baptismal entrance into Christ's own consecration. There's a special summons for consecrated men and women to be renewed this year in joy. Wherever there are consecrated people, Pope Francis said in a get-together with novices and seminarians in July 2013, there is joy. There's always joy. It's the joy of freshness, the joy of following Jesus, the joy the Holy Spirit gives us. Wherever there are consecrated men and women, there is joy. True joy, he went on to say, doesn't come from the world. It doesn't come from things or from possessing. Rather, Pope Francis said, joy is born from an encounter, from the relationship with God and others. It's born from feeling accepted, understood, and loved, and from accepting, from understanding, and from loving. Joy is born from the gratuitousness of an encounter. It's hearing someone say, but not necessarily with words, you are important to me. This is beautiful. And it's these very words that God makes us understand. In calling you, God says to you, you are important to me. I love you. I am counting on you. Today, Jesus says these words to each of us. And joy is born from the absolute gratuitousness of this encounter with the risen Lord. Understanding and hearing this message from Jesus is the secret of our joy. Feeling loved by God and feeling that for Him we're not numbers but people, and hearing Him call us leads us to experience His joy and allows Him to lead us more and more toward its perfection. Today, on the day Jesus has risen from the dead, showing us His transfigured and no longer bleeding wounds, Jesus tells us how important we are to Him, that He loves us enough to go to Calvary 1,000 times just for you and be tortured 1,000 times worse than it happened by the Roman executioners, in order to take away our sins and restore us to communion with Him and each other. He tells us today how important we are to Him, that He would consecrate us. He would cut us off from the world to be with Him, so that we, united by Him, might be sent back into the world with Him to complete His mission. Jesus consecrated Himself so that He could consecrate us, that we would be able to infect the world with His joy. The joy that prompts us to serve with love. The joy that seeks to help everyone else have a similar encounter with the risen Lord Jesus. If we're going to celebrate this Easter Sunday well, if we're truly going to live the Christian life, we must be joyful and glad. This has been one of the principal messages of Pope Francis since his election 2 years ago. As he wrote in his apostolic exhortation to every Christian in the world entitled The Joy of the Gospel, the fundamental reform of the church he believes Christ is calling him to lead in our day is one in which Catholics experience the true joy of the faith, the joy of believing and living the gospel, and contagiously bringing Jesus, who is joy, to others. Pope Francis said, "There are Christians whose lives seem like Lent without Easter, who live as if they're always coming back from a funeral." And he stressed this is not the Christian way. Consecrated men and women are called to wake up the world to the joy of the gospel by helping the world experience the life-changing happiness of a true encounter with joy incarnate. Pope Francis' thoughts in that exhortation are a powerful way for all of us learn how to celebrate and live Easter right. Pope Francis begins his exhortation saying, "The joy of the gospel fills the hearts and lives of all who encounter Jesus. Those who accept this offer of salvation are set free from sin, sorrow, inner emptiness, and loneliness. With Christ, joy is constantly being born anew." The Holy Father admits that the Christian life isn't devoid of crosses, but states that Christians find joy even in the crosses. Because of our knowledge of how Good Friday leads to Easter when we unite those crosses to the Lord. He said the gospel, radiant with the glory of Christ's cross, constantly invites us to rejoice. Our Christian joy drinks of Jesus' brimming, pierced heart. He promises his disciples before the Passion, "You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy." Then he goes on to say, "But I will see you again. And your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." After his resurrection, he fulfilled that promise, the Pope says, as St. John describes happened Easter Sunday evening. The disciples rejoiced at the sight of the risen Lord. Pope Francis says that we Christians need to be overcome with Paschal joy, because the heart of the Christian message will always be the same. In humanly good times and in bad, in poverty and prosperity, in sickness and in health. That message is about the God who revealed his immense love in the crucified and risen Christ. The fundamental Christian proclamation, the gospel, is Jesus Christ loves you. He gave his life to save you. And he is now risen, living at your side every day to enlighten you, strengthen you, and free you. When everything is said and done, Pope Francis observes, we are infinitely loved. Infinitely loved. The Holy Father recognizes the grief of people who have to endure great suffering, but he says, slowly but surely, we have to let the joy of faith slowly revive as a quiet yet firm trust, even in the midst of great distress. The resurrection gives us hope. If we think that things are not going to change, he says, we need to recall that Jesus Christ has triumphed over sin and death and is now almighty. Jesus Christ truly lives. Jesus, risen and glorified, is the wellspring of our hope. And he will not deprive us of the help we need. The Holy Father says that if we're going to experience this fountain of hope and joy, we need to live with Christ risen in the present. We need to enter into communion with his joy and hope. We need to receive his strength even in our weakness, his light even in our darkness. Christ's resurrection is not an event of the past, Pope Francis emphasizes. It contains a vital power that has permeated this world, where all seems to be dead. Signs of resurrection suddenly spring up. It's an irresistible force. Often it seems that God doesn't exist. All around us we see persistent injustice, evil, indifference, and cruelty. But it is also true that in the midst of this darkness, something new always springs to life and sooner or later produces fruit. On raised land, life breaks through, stubbornly yet invincibly. However dark things are, goodness always reemerges and spreads. Each day in our world, beauty is born anew. It rises, transformed through the storms of history. Values always tend to reappear under new guises, and human beings have arisen time after time from situations that seemed utterly doomed. Such is the power of the resurrection. Christ's resurrection everywhere calls forth seeds of that new world. Even if they're cut back, they grow again. For the resurrection is already secretly woven into the fabric of this history. For Jesus Christ did not rise in vain. This vital power of Jesus' resurrection is at work not just out there in the world, but also inside of each of us. And this is the root of our Christian joy, the joy of the gospel. But it's not enough for us to experience this joy individually. His exhortation, Pope Francis summons us to share that joy. The joy flowing from Jesus' brimming heart into our hearts is supposed to flow from our hearts into others' hearts. Just like last night during the Easter Vigil, we all lit tapers from the Paschal candle, showing how Jesus, symbolized by the Paschal candle, lights each of us, symbolized by those tapers on fire. And just like we all spread that flame to those around us by lighting their tapers, so Jesus wants to illumine us with his joy, the joy of the resurrection, the joy of the gospel, and have us go burn others with that joy. We all know that the only way to increase our joy is precisely to spread it. If we were to take a lit taper outside on a windy day, it would almost certainly be extinguished. We can't surround it with our hands and body sufficiently to protect it from the wind. The only way to keep that flame alive is to make it grow, to join it to other lit tapers so that it becomes a huge bonfire that not even hurricane force winds can extinguish. It's the same way with our Christian joy. It grows by sharing, because then our own joy is increased by seeing the joy of Jesus change the life of another. Our joy from this gratuitous encounter with Jesus compels us to share that joy with those we care about, those we love, even strangers for whom Jesus out of love died. Pope Francis says, we are convinced from personal experience that it's not the same thing to have known Jesus as not to have known him. Not the same thing to walk with him as to walk blindly. Not the same thing to hear his word as not to know it. Not the same thing to contemplate him, to worship him, to find our peace in him as not to. It's not the same thing to try to build the world with his gospel as to try to do so by our own lights. We know well that with Jesus, life becomes richer, and that with him, it's easier to find meaning in everything. This is why we evangelize. We share the faith so that others may be happy and our joy be brought to completion. And how do we do that? Pope Francis in Brazil described the new evangelization, which is a new spreading of Christ's joy, in the scene of Emmaus, which, as we know, happened tonight. Two dejected disciples walking along the roads were met by an anonymous wayfarer who entered into their conversation. What are you talking about as you walk along the way? Are you the only one who doesn't know what happened in Jerusalem during these days? What happened? About Jesus of Nazareth, mighty in word and deed, we had placed our hopes in him, but then all our hopes were dashed when he was crucified. But now women have appeared saying that he is risen. And then Jesus says, oh, how hard of heart you are not to believe all that the prophets foretold. And then he did what we did last night in the first part, or the second part of the Easter Vigil, in that long liturgy of the word, went through all of salvation history to explain how all of it pointed to the fact that the suffering servant, the Messiah, would have to suffer, but that he would rise. And their hearts began to burn. It's then that they wanted to stay with him. It's then that they were able to recognize him in disguise under the appearance of the Eucharist, which he celebrated in their home. It's because of that that even though they had walked 7 miles downhill into dusk, they were willing to run 7 miles uphill in pure darkness in order to share that news with others. The whole new evangelization is about this type of joy. People are wandering away from Jerusalem, and all Jerusalem spiritually signifies. They're saddened, they're confused. We're called to enter into their conversations with the light of salvation history. Not by telling them, you losers, what are you doing? But to just share our faith with them. Because when we do, we begin to see that their hearts come on fire when they see that somebody who suffers just like they do isn't conquered by that darkness, but in fact continues to burn. Pope Francis said to the bishops in Brazil, July 27, 2013, something absolutely brilliant. He said, because the seeds of their return are already contained in the reasons why they're leaving. The two disciples were leaving because they thought the Messiah couldn't suffer. And the fact that he was crucified meant that he wasn't the Messiah. But as soon as Jesus was able to describe that, no, the Messiah, the long-awaited one, the anointed one, had to suffer, that's when their hearts began to burn. So many of the people we will meet have got crises in faith, but those crises contain within the seeds of their return. Somebody's abandoned because one of their loved ones for whom they prayed to God that that loved one would survive has died. We need to say, hey, you want happiness for your loved one. You wanted your loved one to continue to live. But the great news is, for those of us who live and die in the Lord, our loved ones do live and are now experiencing so much more happiness than we can even imagine in this world. If people have wandered away from the church because they were hurt by somebody in the church, the seed of their return is there. You know that the ministers of the church are supposed to be holy. But please recognize that the one who did this harm to you doesn't stand for every priest. And you will find others who will treat you with the love with which you deserve to be treated. And when they find another minister of the church, priest or religious, their hearts will begin to burn because that's what they were seeking and didn't find. This is what we do. We enter into the darkness of others without losing the risen light of the Lord that burns like a tabernacle lamp within us. Because of that light of a heart already ignited, that we are able to melt the exoskeleton of ice that enwraps their heart so that their hearts, like ours, may begin to burn. This great Easter proclamation is not to go from one taper to another, but to go from one burning heart to warm the hearts of others. For those in consecrated life, there's a special summons to show the root of joy in the evangelical councils. So often our lack of joy comes from seeing our joy or seeking our joy in things that can't deliver it. We seek it in possessions, forgetting that life doesn't consist in the abundance of possessions, but in the joy of the merchant who finds and sells everything else to obtain the pearl of great price, who is God. So often seek our joy in relationships that often aren't ordered to the true, lasting, committed, fruitful, faithful love that we ultimately seek with God. We seek joy falsely in trying to get our own way, in calling the shots and being in control. But materialism, hedonism, and individualism cannot bring us joy. Even if we had all the money, all the pleasure, and all the power in the world, it can only come from the encounter with God. Consecrated men and women, show us this joy that comes from uniting ourselves with the poor, chaste, and obedient, risen Lord Jesus. True joy comes as we follow the Lord on the exodus from self-absorption on which He leads us. True joy comes from imitating the Lord and giving our lives for God and others out of love. True joy comes from the experience of a genuine, loving community that seeks to live this way, fed and united by this mutual encounter with Christ, not just on the outside, but on the inside, through union with His body and blood. Blessed Paul VI talked about this joy in his tremendous 1975 apostolic exhortation, Gaudete in Domino, Rejoice in the Lord. He said that Christian joy is a demanding joy, patterned on Jesus' own joy. It's a joy, as we know, that begins with the Beatitudes. This joy begins with poverty, with hunger, with mourning, with persecution, with purity. It's a joy that has its roots in the form of a cross. In a mysterious way, Paul VI wrote, Christ himself accepts death at the hands of the wicked and death on the cross in order to eradicate from man's heart the sins of self-sufficiency and to manifest to the Father a complete filial obedience. But the Father didn't allow death to keep him in its power. The resurrection of Jesus is the seal placed by the Father on the value of his Son's sacrifice. It's the proof of the Father's fidelity according to the desire expressed by Jesus before he enters into his passion. Father, glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you. From that point forward, Jesus living forever in the glory of the Father. And this is why the disciples were confirmed in an ineradicable joy when they saw the Lord on Easter evening. It remains that here below, the joy of the kingdom brought to realization can only spring from the simultaneous celebration of the death and the resurrection of the Lord. This is the paradox of the Christian condition that sheds particular light on that of the human condition. Neither trials nor sufferings have been eliminated from this world, but they take on a new meaning in the certainty of sharing in the redemption wrought by the Lord and of sharing in his glory. This is why the Christian, though subject to the difficulties of human life, is not reduced to groping for the way, nor does he see in death the end of his hope. The Easter Exultet sings of a mystery accomplished beyond the hopes of the prophets. In the joyful announcement of the resurrection, even man's suffering finds itself transformed, while the fullness of joy springs from the victory of the crucified, from his pierced heart and glorified body. This victory enlightens the darkest souls. Paschal joy is not just that of a possible transfiguration. It's the joy of the new presence of the risen Christ, dispensing to us his own Holy Spirit so that he may dwell within us. The Holy Spirit is given to the church as the inexhaustible principle of her joy, as the bride of the glorified Christ. The Holy Spirit raises up a filial prayer that springs from the depths of the soul and is expressed in praise, thanksgiving, reparation, and supplication. Then we can experience joy that's properly spiritual. The joy that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Jesus sends us in his resurrection. It consists in the human spirit's finding repose and deep satisfaction in the possession of and by the triune God, known by faith and loved with the charity that comes from him. Such a joy henceforth characterizes all Christian virtues. The humble human joys in our lives, which are like seeds of a higher reality, are transfigured. Here below, this joy will always include, to a certain extent, the painful trial of a woman in labor and a certain apparent abandonment like that of the orphan, tears and lamentation while the world parades its gloating satisfaction. But the disciples' sadness, which is according to God and not according to the world, will be promptly changed like the instant of the resurrection into a spiritual joy that no one will be able to take away from them. Today on this Easter Sunday, on this day the Lord has made, we rejoice and are glad, and we seek together with Jesus to share that happiness with others. And the greatest way we do that is in the way Jesus taught us to do it, here at Mass, not just on Easter Sunday, not just on what the early saints called the little Easter of each Lord's Day, but for those of us in the priesthood and consecrated life. Every day, it's here that we come to celebrate every day the special day of the Lord, the day he gives us so that we might rejoice and be glad, the day on which he remakes us in his image. Today, overcome with paschal joy, that joy that flows into the enthusiasm of all our hymns, our sung and recited responses, and the peace we give each other. Let us get ready to receive Jesus' risen body and blood so that he here, now, can make us and all our things new, so that he may help us from within to seek the things that are above, so that he might help us see and believe and inspire us to go to bring to others this joy of the gospel, that Jesus lives, that he loves us, and that he's at our side every day so that they may experience with us the joy Jesus came to give us all to the full. Where there are consecrated, there is joy, because they are living signs of Jesus' risen joy. Amen. Hallelujah.